This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. They say you can pick a lot of things in life, but you can't pick your family. What? Maybe you can. There are choices you get to make when you grow up in life, and one of them is, how far can I move away from these people? Or you may find yourself as part of the estranged, no longer close to your parents and siblings. Or there is someone in your family now that you no longer invite to the get-togethers. What is happening? Is this normal? Are you making a healthy choice? How do you process all of this and move on? We're talking about family estrangement. There are a lot of myths and wrong assumptions about this, about being on the outs with your fam. So what is happening in your life? We want to hear your stories and how you feel about that. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Send us a tweet at @tprsource. We're joined by Catherine St. Louis. She is a veteran health reporter, author of a recent article debunking myths about estrangement, and currently writing a book on that topic. Also with us is Joanne Ayala Myla Crane, a consultant for the Marriage and Family Institute in San Antonio. Catherine Salmudi is a clinical assistant professor in the Department of Counseling at the University of Texas at San Antonio and a faculty contact for the UTSA Sabria Family Counseling Center. I welcome all of y'all. It's great to have you here as we talk about this topic. I think a lot of people are talking about it, thinking about it after the holidays. Catherine St. Louis, you wrote the article, and it was astonishing, all of the comments that you had on your piece. What do you take away from that?
I think that more and more people who are estranged from family members, for whatever reason, are coming out of the shadows. I think there used to be a lot more shame, or people didn't realize other people were in similar situations, so they kind of kept their mouth shut. For whatever reason, there's just been an outpouring, more than 1,700 comments, and the comments are still open.
Did you know when you wrote the piece it was going to hit that kind of a nerve? And is that why now you're saying, I need to write a book about it?
No, I was already researching the book, and I've already had a couple months where wherever I go, if I mention that I'm writing about estrangement, someone has a story to tell. I was at a brunch recently, and I mentioned I was writing a book about estrangement, and that was at the end of a brunch where a gentleman had already confessed that he hadn't talked to his parents in 10 years.
Now, the article that you write about depends heavily on research from Australia and the UK. Is there not a lot of American research in this area?
There is some American research, but the thing is that, you know, estrangement hasn't really been a priority for quite some time. So I feel like the researchers are just getting around to studying it as a phenomenon. I called the CDC to sort of ask them whether or not they track this kind of family rift, much like they track, say, divorce. And they really didn't have an answer for me. They sort of said, we don't even have a definition of estrangement, much less are we tracking it.
So what is the definition of estrangement?
So estrangement is essentially when one relative chooses, so it's voluntary, choosing to stop speaking to or distance themselves from another relative after an ongoing negative relationship. So, for example, if your father gets put away in prison and you're not able to talk to them, that's not estrangement, right? If your spouse goes away on a military assignment and doesn't talk to your children, that's not estrangement. Estrangement really is voluntarily distancing yourself from a family member.
Is estrangement up or down, bad or good?
Oh, wow. That's a really hard question to ask. And I actually think that part of the reason people have spent so much time keeping their estrangement under wraps is the judgment that we throw at them. So I don't think it's bad or good. It just is. I mean, is divorce bad or good?
And then people have to figure out how to live with that, what to make of it, and accept it on their own terms. Joanne Ayala Myla Crane, as a consultant with the Marriage and Family Institute in San Antonio, do you see a lot of issues of estrangement?
There are in unhealthy relationships, let's say in trauma, childhood trauma, when the children grow up, they make a conscious choice to distance themselves and not really have a lot of contact with their parents. Sometimes,
so like if a child growing up had to deal with abuse, maybe sexual abuse,
yes,
and it was never addressed as a child, and denial is a big part of what's happening in the background all the time in families, and so people would rather have no contact, no reminders of this type of event. Is that what happens?
Very true. It's a constant reminder of the pain and suffering that they endured as children. So they choose to cut themselves off physically by moving away or just not coming to family events. Or they do it, they may have contact, but then they choose the topics of conversation very carefully.
Okay, and so Catherine Salmody of UTSA, do you think there is a healthy level of estrangement?
Well, I think that estrangement is sometimes a healthy choice. I'm not sure if that answers your question exactly, but I do know that there are some relationships where it's not safe physically or psychologically to remain in the relationships, and it's very important to determine if the relationship can be safe, because it can be very healing if there's a way to for families to come back together and heal those ruptures. And that's something that certainly counseling can help with. And, you know, we have a Sarabia Family Counseling Center, as you mentioned, at UTSA, where we provide free community counseling to the members of the community. And we do often have clients who come in wanting to rebuild relationships with parents or children. Sometimes it's a result of addictions where, as you mentioned, of course, abuse, but also addictions or any number of reasons that children or parents have chosen to disconnect from their family. But I think there's always that desire to reconnect.
And so, Catherine, do you think that it is a, we can say, people, if they make the healthy choice to be estranged, then they can, but there's also some negativity associated with that, and people need
Absolutely.
To process that.
Okay, I was going to say, at times it is a necessary choice in order to stay safe, because in some relationships things cannot be mended, but I'm a big believer in the fact that many times those problems can be overcome through the help of counseling and a real commitment on both parties to reconnect and overcome the pain and the trauma and to reestablish a relationship that can be healthy.
Yeah, but it does take both parties. It takes two to tango. If one doesn't want
Absolutely.
To dance, then you're kind of stuck by yourself. We're going to talk more about that. I want to get into the myths and misconceptions, bad assumptions that we make about a family estrangement. And when we come back, also we'll take some phone calls. We got some calls lined up. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Do you think family relationships maybe here in San Antonio are a little tighter than maybe in other parts of the world, and that could make family estrangement all the more complicated here locally? 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about family estrangement. It's more common than you think. And if you got a question or a comment, the number is 210-614-8980. We'd love to hear your family estrangement story. Were you estranged and you're able to mend things, come back together? What was that like or not? And how do you deal with that? Do you think you made the right decision? Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. And this is Katie. Katie is on the line. Hi, Katie. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that my husband and I are currently experiencing infertility, and I have two brothers who are married, and one is currently pregnant, and we have become estranged from them because of the infertility. It's just too hard to be part of their lives right now, and there's been a lot of guilt and shame around that for myself and my husband, and we just haven't been able to see eye to eye, and we're hoping that we can mend it at some point, but there is definitely an estrangement in our family.
That's Thanks for telling us that story, Katie, and good luck to you on that, and hopefully you're able to figure that out. Let me go to Joanne Ayala Myla Crane, a consultant for the Marriage and Family Institute in San Antonio. Any reaction?
Katie, I think your choice to distance yourself is a very healthy one for you and your husband currently. And like you said, I think there will be a time to rebuild the relationship and to reconnect. But many times you have to do what's healthy for your family. And you have to make that decision as a couple and move on from there, regardless of the negative impact or negative feedback you might be hearing about doing this, and you can give your well wishes and your love and your support, but you can do it through the phone, through text messaging. There are other ways to stay in a healthy space.
But that seems like a story that's dealing with an issue. The issue is temporal. Things will move forward and things will change. Situations will change. And so let me ask Catherine St. Louis, author of the article that we're talking about estrangement. Is that what happens, that something will happen and that will just continue to grow and build from there? Or do people move on? How does that work?
The research shows that estrangement can be cyclical. So you can be closer with someone at certain points, then distance yourself for a number of years, then come back into the fold for whatever reason. So, you know, the caller, Katie, it could very well be that her and her brother's family find a way to reconnect after she... if they find some common ground again. But it could also be that the brother really never understands what it means to them to be infertile, and that it's going to be a continuing rift. It's a little hard to say. We didn't get much from her.
Right. So the bottom line is that people say, well, family is family, and family is the most important thing, and you got to stick together with your family. And is that the number one problem that we have here, is that we have this rule and people want to live up to that rule and it's not always possible? Catherine St. Louis?
I think that we have powerful cultural ideas about what family should be, right? They are your people. They're the ones who accept you, nurture you, love you forever. But what that leaves out is maybe you really never got that love, or your parents really could be quite controlling, or, as others have mentioned, quite abusive, or belittle you at every turn. So I think that there's just a rising number of people who sort of say, you wouldn't tell me, if my husband hit me, you wouldn't tell me to stay. So why is it that everything in the culture is telling me that I need to go home for Christmas and be belittled by my father at every turn, right? There was a gentleman, a Canadian man who's almost 50, Nicholas Mack, in my article, and he stopped going to Christmas like a decade ago because he had tired of sort of being the black sheep of the family and having open verbal abuse be completely a normal thing at Christmas time. But people still try to get him to reconnect with his family. He's very much past that.
Right. And so where I want to try and settle in on this conversation is saying, when people make that decision, how should they feel about that decision? They can go have Christmas alone, maybe with a new family or a new bunch of friends, and be miserable about it because they're not with their family, or they can accept the reality that we're not always going to get along and be happy with that decision. And so, Catherine Salmody at UTSA, what do you think about that?
I agree completely that... it is a decision that you have to make, whether it's going to be more beneficial to you to stay estranged from your family and build family in other areas with people who can be positive and supportive and loving. And I think the problem is that then people still feel very guilty because of that cultural message that family is family and you need to just stay connected. And in Katie's example, Katie, I think you're grieving the loss of the dream that you had to have a baby, and hopefully you will be able to achieve that dream. But right now you're grieving, and often grief is one, of course it's handled differently by everyone, but it's one time when people do feel they need to disconnect because they're not getting from their family the support or the love or the understanding that's going to help them with that grief. And they may be getting messages, they're causing them to feel more guilty or more hurt. And I'm actually very glad that many people are able to understand that some relationships just do have to be ended. But because there is that need to be connected with family, it is a basic need, then I also am a believer that many of those disconnections can be remended. And I think in Katie's case, dealing with your grief is your first step in getting through your grief and learning the best way to come to terms with that so that you can then rebuild your relationship with your family.
All right, let's go back to the calls, and this is Kathy. Kathy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Kathy. I had a question. My sister and I are completely estranged from our brother, but how do we deal with the guilt that we're causing our parents to have two different Christmases or two different Thanksgiving where we don't want to deal with him, we don't want him in our family or near our children for various reasons? But our parents keep trying to push us together. So at what point, like, I've already told my parents, like, stop this, stop trying to put us together, stop trying to sneak them into family dinners, like, we don't want to deal with this. But our parents keep making me and my sister feel horribly guilty, like, at one point it's our fault that, like, he's, like, a horrible person. So how do we deal with that guilt, like, that they're making us feel?
Kathy, thank you for that call. I think a lot of people are caught in that type of situation. Catherine Salmody at UTSA, what do you think?
I think that she's hit on a very important point here, that she and her sister have come to terms with the estrangement, and they are feeling confident that they have made the best choice for themselves, and they are okay with that decision and don't feel any remorse over it other than the pain that it's causing their parents. And unfortunately, we can't always control the feelings of others. Kathy, you mentioned that your parents are making you feel a certain way, and I understand that it feels that way because of their messages to you and because you love them and you want to please them. But there would be ways for you to be able to let go of that guilt over your parents' feeling and learn to be okay with that, to be okay with your parents need to feel their feelings and they need to seek help for that if necessary, and you need to deal with your feelings, and it's okay to set your boundaries.
And
set your boundaries.
So Joanne Ayala, Myla Crane, do families need to discuss estrangement? Do we have to sit down and just say, listen, this is where we are in this, and this is why we're not going to, we don't want this particular member of the family to be here? You just can't have this silent bargaining going on. It really has to be vocalized.
Absolutely. It needs to be vocalized. I'm wondering if you've explained to your parents the specific reasons as to why you choose to be estranged from your brother. Communication is a big part of the healing process. Once we can communicate with others how we feel about certain actions, then they can choose their path. They can choose to apologize or not acknowledge it, and then the individual can go from there. But communication is huge into resolving issues, estrangement. And even if the communication factor is not there, the individual needs to seek counseling, because a lot of times those toxic relationships are replicated by the individuals who cut themselves off. They're trying to fill a hole or make things different this time, and they replicate the abusive patterns in future relationships. So counseling is very important.
Catherine St. Louis, author of the article in the New York Times, debunking myths about estrangement. What is the number one myth?
Oh, I think the number one myth is that estrangement is rare, right? People think, I grew up in a family with estrangement, and whenever I would try to share a bit of my family's story, people really sort of said, well, that's just really, gosh, why don't they talk? I don't quite get it. I think this article coming out and the explosion of people sharing quite personal information on the New York Times website is a real sign that there are many estranged people out there. Just how many we won't know until folks like the CDC start tracking it. But thankfully, charity like Stand Alone, a charity that supports estranged people in the UK, has started doing prevalence studies to figure out like just how many estranged people are out there. And a study of theirs in 2014 found that 8% of about the 2,000 British adults they asked had cut off from a family member. So that's about 5 million folks in the UK.
And so is it actually rare then that there are happy families? Is that the other side of the coin?
No, of course. Of course we know loving families. We know that there are people who have a deep and abiding bond with their parents and would never want to cease contact with them. What we don't know enough about and what heartens me in having so many people speak out are the families for whom they really never had a great connection with their parent. And then on top of that, there was verbal or sexual abuse. And on top of that, there was maybe also domestic violence. Like, I think folks who come from truly happy families struggle to really understand how much sometimes family can let you down. And so hearing from those estranged family members, I think it's really important, even for people who come from families with quite strong bonds.
But family members, those people, they are the people who know how exactly how to push your buttons.
And,
and so if they want to get you, they know exactly where to go. They can call up that thing you did in the third grade. They know all the stuff. And it starts flying when, you know, on at the Thanksgiving table at the worst of times. And so, but is that also the myth about this, that it's all one eruption and it just builds over time?
Right. So one myth that keeps coming up is that people think, oh, you just had like one big fight with your mom, right? Like just a bad single blowout, and that's what causes someone to want to, say, disown a child. It really isn't like that. Like it's a systemic erosion over time, right? It's not going to happen in the blink of an eye. And I think that's one thing that people kind of don't get, and maybe that's because they're sort of expecting things to be like in a movie where there's a conflict and a blow up and a single clear reason you can point to.
Right, and then it's all resolved nicely at the end of the movie,
right.
And the music swells just like it's doing
exactly
right now. And then
right.
They go to break. And let's go to break now. We come back. The calls, if you want to call in, we got some openings here. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. What's up with your family? Come on, unload on the air. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We've got an email from our listener about our topic, family estrangement. The email is, my family is among the statistics of those who do not have interaction with one another. Attempts to end the silence and reconnect in healthy ways have failed. I've come to accept that my family will never be anything more than a group of people who share the same last name, who used to know one another. Does that sound like your family? How do you feel about that? Do you think that you're making a healthy choice, or do you still feel that longing to try to reconnect? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's get Maggie on the air. Hi, Maggie. Welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
So both of my parents are the children of abuse, and they were estranged from their families. Progressively as a child, but by the time I was in elementary school, the bonds were completely broken. And so I was raised with estrangement being a pretty normal thing. But the flip side is I don't really understand familial bonding. And so I think it's a really strange thing because I think it's healthy to be estranged, but I don't know how to get close to people in the same way that other people that come from big, happy families do.
Yeah, I get that, Maggie. Thank you so much for that call. So we have different people with different levels of assumptions about how families should operate. Catherine St. Louis, you wrote the article that started this conversation, debunking myths about estrangement in the New York Times. Did you come across that?
Something the caller said sort of struck me when she said that she doesn't understand kind of bonding with other people. I think that if you're in a family where the parent is struggling to form a bond with the kid, then when you go out into the world, it can be really hard to do the things that people do, like fall in love and open yourself up to someone else. If every time you opened yourself up to a sibling or a parent at home, you kind of got negative feedback, right? You sort of shut down. I wonder what some of the therapists think about that.
Yeah, so let's go to Joanne Ayala, Myla Crane, consultant for the Family Marriage and Family Institute in San Antonio.
I think you have to wonder why it is that you're unable to form those healthy relationships or healthy bonds. And if you feel that, and if you've come to the conclusion, you know what it is, it's my family of origin, I was never really close to them, then you may need to talk to someone or seek counseling as to how to form those bonds and what is keeping you from being able to have a healthy relationship with someone.
And Catherine Salmody at UTSA?
Yes, I absolutely agree that it sounds like if your parents did not learn family bonding from their parents, then they weren't able to pass that on to you and help you learn that. So it's something that can be learned, and it's unfortunately that you didn't get it from your family of origin, but it's still something that is available to you. And I agree that counseling would be able to help you with learning how to be vulnerable and bond in a relationship.
Well, I mean, if she's happy and she's fine with the way that her life is, and, you know, maybe counseling is not necessary if she's able to operate in this way. But, you know, all relationships demand work. And maybe not everyone is willing to accept that. They just think that, well, I mean, you got to compromise. You got to reach agreements. You got to be consensus about who's going to do what, where, who's going to go where, how we accomplish things. And the question is, when does that work become too much? And you have to decide, it's just not worth it for me to continue this familial relationship. I want to be estranged. And so is there some sort of calculation that people have to make at some point in their life, Catherine St. Louis?
I think the problem is that we're assuming that both sides of an estrangement will at some point align and decide they both want to work on it together. What I keep finding in my interviews is that someone will disown or stop talking to someone else, and that other person, the estrangee, will be extremely hurt and go through a period of intense grief and mourning, and then, you know, basically reach a point where they're angry and sort of say, well, fine, if you don't want to talk to me, I don't want to talk to you. And then the original estranger might be then coming back around, but already the door is closed. It can open up a door, and then, you know, both people have to come back together at the same time and be willing to work on it at the same time. What people keep telling me is that person doesn't want to change. That person, I mean, not doesn't want to go to therapy. They won't address any of the mental illness that they have.
Okay, I'm going to go to a caller here, and this is Philip. Philip, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Sorry, bear with me. This is a tough one because, I have a brother across town in San Antonio, and I haven't seen him for 25 years. You know, it was because of my actions that I got myself estranged like that. So I try to tell people all the time that if you can fix it now before you get older, and then there's no fixing it. You cannot say sorry anymore for the stupidity of the things that you do that put you in this position. So this is from somebody who's been estranged. You know what I mean?
So, Philip, you're letting us, reminding us about, you reach a point in life where you realize maybe these little things could have been fixed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For one, quit drinking. You know what I mean? Quit, go to these reunions and don't bring up the past. They don't want to hear about you. We were abused really bad. My father came back from Vietnam and abused us really bad. And I look like him too, and that to me has always made me feel, you know, that I was literally the black sheep of the family out of 11 aunts and uncles and cousins, 60 cousins, and I was the first one not to get my first Holy Communion and all that stuff. You know what I mean? So yeah. it was I totally created the situation for myself.
Well, Philip, thank you for calling in. I think you brought up some great points here. Joanne Ayala, Myla Crane.
It sounds like you're struggling, and this is a very difficult topic for you. I hope that you speak to someone and get to a healthy place, because in the end of the day, I think that's what we all want, is to be happy and to have a healthy relationship with those that are close to us. And I often make a comment that, you know, we'll tune up, we'll oil change our cars two or three times a year, but we don't tune up our own lives. We don't look at how to make things better. And when things are going well, that doesn't mean that they can't get a little bit even better. They can't improve. And that's called positive therapy. Things are going well, but what can I do to make it even stronger?
Right. So we had an email earlier, and the person wrote that we were just a bunch of people who shared a last name, but you shared more than that. You shared DNA, but also you share a lot of memories and history together, and that can be a good thing. Maybe you can realize this is how we all grew up, and no one else grew in this house up with except my brothers and sisters, and we all kind of remember what it was like, and it's great to be able to talk to someone about what it was like when we had to go through those tough times together. And so, is there a time when you can come back, Catherine Solmody, and say, you know, I really need you back in my life now? We're 60, we're 70. Let's talk about things.
Absolutely. I think that's the message that we'd like to get across today is twofold. As someone said earlier, it's can be common for people to be estranged. It can be a good thing. It can be a healthy choice, but it can also turn back the other way when people are ready. And helping to determine that can be very difficult, you know, trying to decide, is this a relationship that can be mended and what would it take? And I know we've mentioned counseling over and over, but again, I think counseling would be the way to help identify, is this resolvable? Is this something we can do? And someone else mentioned communication. And of course, you know, people could actually do this themselves if they can open up and communicate clearly and honestly with each other and be willing to listen and make adjustments. But often in relationships that have been toxic for so long, you often need another person to help you with those skills. They don't just come naturally. And, you know, I think that Philip, our last caller, was a good example of someone who's really bearing a lot of pain through an estrangement, and it sounds like pain that he did not earn. I think he said that it was his fault, but I don't hear that. I don't hear that it was his fault, and I'm very sorry to hear him feeling that way. But that is the type of thing that counselors can help with to, you know, people often blame themselves when it's not truly their fault. So I hope that those of you that are feeling that way will talk with someone and try to sort out how much of this is earned guilt and how much is unearned guilt. And if it is earned guilt, there's things you can do to make up for that. You can always turn things around.
And Catherine St. Louis, and author of Debunking Myths About Estrangement, you write that estrangement is a continuing process. I mean, does that mean that that it doesn't just continue on its own? We have to put effort into being estranged?
Yeah, I think you do. I think that's what it might start out as, not calling as often as you once did, or not responding to texts as immediately, and progress. I mean, I think it takes years for people to go completely no contact, to have your person blocked on all social media, to never pick up their phone, to not know their address. I, in my reporting, was just talking to a mother today who I wanted to reach out to her daughters, and she doesn't have emails for them. Like, she doesn't know where, she knows which town they're in, but she knows nothing else. So they've been estranged for more than 15 years. But obviously it didn't start that way. In the beginning, she still was emailing and trying to get through to them. But eventually they blocked her on all social media and wanted no contact. But I think from the perspective of the person who is estranging someone else and distancing themselves from another family member, people are often making you feel guilty. So you might kind of go back and see, well, really, was it my imagination? Was it really that bad? Let me give it another shot.
Okay. We're going to talk more about that, trying to heal the rift, trying to bring back the family. When we come back from the break, the number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking about family estrangement. A lot of callers here. Martha Livingston is on the line. Martha, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you.
Yes, at our counseling center, San Antonio Behavioral Counseling Center, we do a lot of counseling for families that are estranged or individuals like the callers that are hurting. It's real important to seek counseling for that healing to begin. Even if the family can't come together, at least the individual can begin that process.
So you're saying that if I'm estranged from my family, or I can just go in by myself and see what? Can you help me? Can you provide me some tools to try to reach out to them?
Absolutely. A lot of times it's better to come in individually and process the feelings that are going on, you know, and sometimes just getting insight into why we are now in the situation where we're in and taking sometimes ownership for that. Sometimes even just by the changes that we make elicits change in the other family members because then they begin to see that we're not taking things as personally or we're not, you know, being vindictive or anything like that. So when we begin to change our behaviors, that in turn has other people's behavior change in turn.
Okay. Martha, thank you for calling in. She talked about taking ownership and saying, I am responsible for my happiness. You're responsible for your happiness. And we've got to figure this out together in some way, but don't make me the problem. Joanne, is that how that works?
What Dr. Livingston said is very true. Once we start looking at our own triggers and how we respond to other individuals and we learn to respond in a healthy way, then others see that and we change the patterns of interaction to a healthier relationship.
Right. Okay. And here's another caller, Emily. Hi, Emily. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was love your show. Listen to it every day.
Well, thank you.
So I was listening, and I am lucky enough. I come from a family with phenomenal connections. My mother and my father have always been very supportive of me. But I have a friend who, she's not estranged from her parents, but it's a very volatile relationship. And this past year was really hard for her. And I recently learned, you know, she would call me or we'd go out and she'd tell me what was going on or what situation just happened to upset her. And my first reaction was to be like, oh, yeah, I can't believe your mother did that. That's ridiculous, you know, because to me, some of the things that happen in their family are almost absurd. I have a hard time wrapping my head around it. But the last time I had done that, she kind of like her face went, you know, still for a minute. And she's like, hey, that's my mom. And I suddenly kind of realized, like, you know, yeah, your boyfriend upsets you, go ahead, be like, oh, he's a jerk, but there's so much more complexities with family, and because of the way that society tells us how our families should be, that since then, I've learned that when she says those things, not to necessarily just, like, agree and rag on her parents as well, but to just listen and justify however she feels. Like,
yeah, Emily, so how do... you're not part of the family, you're an outsider, but you have a pretty good view of what's going on. How do you include yourself? What kind of role do you play in that, Joanne?
Understanding and validation has a big impact on individuals. And exactly like she said, some people just want to be heard. and validated and understood. And then they can...
Yeah, they want to vent sometimes.
And vent, absolutely. And we all need to be able to vent to someone. It's healthy.
All right, here's Robert. Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
We're three brothers in the family. And bottom line is my middle brother lives with my mom in a separate house, but he lives there on the same ranch. And anytime that my older brother or myself go home to visit my mom, it's like we always end up in some sort of difference of opinion, or I don't know, my middle brother is always just very rowdy, very obnoxious, starts screaming and yelling and raising his voice. And a lot of times I just won't even go visit my mom. Just because, and I live in Houston. She lives here in San Antonio. So a lot of times I just don't visit my mom because I know my brother's there. You know, and I don't know what to do with this situation.
All right, Robert, thank you for calling in. Catherine Salmody at UTSA, what do you think?
Well, I think that you've definitely pinpointed that the problem is with your relationship with your brother. And it's unfortunate that he is interfering with your relationship with your mom, because it sounds like you still want to have a close relationship with your mom. And I just encourage you to not let your relationship with your brother interfere with that, because there are ways to work around that. You can definitely meet with your mom in another location, or arrange times to meet with her when he's not there. And of course, I understand you're in Houston, so that can be very difficult. But and I think it's the natural tendency is to just to avoid the situation. But it sounds like you love your mom deeply and you want to maintain your relationship with her.
He doesn't want to be estranged. He's being forced out, but he wants to be dealt in. But
absolutely.
I always see people
he's finding
as
himself avoiding it.
Yeah, everyone is 5 years old. Whenever you get in a situation like this, your 5-year-old self takes over, and they're competing for mom, mom's attention. And so you got to figure out a way to elevate the situations. And we can deal with this as adults if you can, but maybe everyone's not ready to do that. I mean, Joanne, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. I think that he should continue and seek out that relationship with his mom. It's a very important relationship. Our days are not guaranteed here on this earth.
Yeah, time is limited.
That's right. And finding other ways to meet with her, maybe fly her out to Houston, spend some time with her. It's very important to keep those connections.
We got to be able to do it in a way that your brother feels not threatened by your presence.
Right.
So we got a question from a caller, and Sarah couldn't stay on the line. She says, my Latino relatives find it difficult to understand my estrangement. I get a lot of flack for it because the family is so important to them. And so I wonder about that here in San Antonio. Latino families are very important, and they can be large, and you have cousins or like brothers and sisters frequently. And the more people you got in the mix, the more complicated things can get. So Joanne Ayala, Myla Crane, what are your thoughts?
And I am Hispanic, and family is a very important aspect to my relationship, the Hispanic culture. Not that it isn't in every culture. I think your upbringing has a lot to do with how close a family is. But sometimes in upbringing, you might have unhealthy behaviors happening.
You can have somebody dealing with addiction.
Right.
You can tell them dealing with serious mental illness. There are people who are dealing with undiagnosed depression frequently in families, and they feel perfectly happy making everyone miserable.
They do, or they want to not see anybody. They estrange themselves, and everyone's wondering, and they miss them, and they really care about them and love them, but they can't bring themselves to that family gathering. They can't. They just can't for those reasons you mentioned.
So, Catherine St. Louis, you wrote the article that started all this and got all those comments. Clearly, this is something that people really are tuned into. This is a nerve that you've hit on about debunking the myths about estrangement. And now you're writing a book about this subject. Any chance this is going to be a how-to book, about how to get along?
There are plenty of how-to books already. There are several about how family estrangements begin, how to mend them, how to cope with them. My book's going to be different. My book will tell the stories of many estranged families in a hope to bridge understanding so more people don't judge estrangement but understand that it happens and understand some of the reasons why.
And when do people decide, I mean, they realize it's just not worth the effort to try to maintain my relationship with the family. I mean, and we talked about these words keep coming up, and they remind me of the stages of death. About you have to do the denial, the anger, the bargaining, and finally the acceptance. Is that part of the dealing with estrangement?
I think what's extremely painful about estrangement is you don't know. There is never an aha moment where you finally realize the time is now. I think even after many disappointments and decades, it's still incredibly painful to go no contact. And so it's not something people do lightly. It's not something people do on a whim. But for some people, estrangement is a sanity-saving strategy. You know,
right, the silence, the denial, all these things, that's the other side of it, to keep the family together. And then there's like, okay, I'm out, and that's how I'm going to keep my sanity.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and any last words? Joanna Ayala, Myla Crane, consultant for the Marriage and Family Institute in San Antonio.
I believe that we should all seek to be in a healthy relationship and to be happy. Life is not guaranteed, and it's important to let the people that we know, that we love, let them know that we love them.
And so you can still do that when you're estranged.
You sure can.
You can still
email, text message.
You can send a card.
That's right.
And say, you know what, I'm not part of your life now, but I still think about you. I still love you. And unfortunately, we can't have a relationship, but maybe just know that I'm still thinking about you.
That's right.
And Catherine Solomidy, clinical assistant professor at the Department of Counseling at the University of Texas at San Antonio, faculty contact for UTSA's Sarbia Family Counseling Center. That's a lot of titles. But what do you think? How should we wrap this up?
Well, I think that you've put out a very important message today, and I like hearing the message that estrangement is common. It's not something to be ashamed of, and it often can be a good choice. But it's very, very painful, and there is help available.
All right. Well, this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.